Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search. Type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, demigod. Is Joe Biden a political leader who seeks support by appealing to the desires and prejudice of people? Is Biden using false claims and promises in order to gain power? Some might say that that's politics. They're all demagogues, and you can't please everybody all the time. And they might have a point, except when politicians profess to support voters and that support is virtually non-existent. Yet you can observe that politician supporting others in the manner in which you wanted or needed support. It's kind of like slapping the face, I guess, kicking a butt. That's politics, sweet-talking the voters, telling them what they want to hear, and screwing them in the rear after the election. Black folk may not have bootstraps to pull themselves up with, but they most certainly can keep their pants up, especially during election time. For black folk, politics appears to be an old age problem that's not going away any time soon. Kind of like the uncle who rapes you and gives you candy. From the Mongoldom Nation, Anne Brown. Covered an article talking about Brother Umar Johnson on the Breakfast Club. Y'all can check that out for yourself on YouTube. She talked about the 7 points he made on Joe Biden while on the Breakfast Club. People don't know who Umar Johnson is, please feel free to Umar Johnson, Johnson. Check him out on YouTube. She described him as a black thought leader. But he's a clinical psychologist who specializes in working with parents of African-American children, right? Very knowledgeable brother. And he's still raising, at the point that this article was written, still raising money for his, to open his school for boys in Delaware, the Frederick Douglass Marcus Garvey Academy. So here go the 7 points that she said Brother Umar Johnson made about Joe Biden. Offered protection for everyone but black people. According to Umar, Biden has gone out of his way to protect the rights of other groups but not black people. He pointed to the Senate's recent passage of an anti-Asian hate crime bill and the Biden executive order that will protect transgender people and others based on gender identity or sexual orientation. So, he said on his first day in office, he signed an executive order to protect the life and safety of transgenders. He said he had no problem with that. But you did it on your first day? That was your first... He said, that's the first thing you did? So you went out of your way, he added. He went out of his way making black people to vote, right, for him. He questioned, why haven't black people received an executive order or any other activity coming out of the Oval Office to protect black people from police. I said, So I remember, this is from Provocative Family, I look back and I remember, Biden said if you didn't vote for him, you're not black, or if Trump, they ain't black, something like that. Something about any, if you don't support, if you support Trump, you ain't black. If you don't vote for him, you ain't black. What the hell does that mean? Is that the race card or the Joker card? That's a crazy thing to say right there. That is, last time I looked, Biden was a white boy, right? Okay, so I don't know why he would say that. Like a white dude saying something like that to black folks. Like his name doesn't even come up when black folks have a conversation about being black. Biden is not a, that name doesn't come up. So anyway, if that were true, blacks ain't been black for some time, because not many presidential candidates or presidents have produced legislation that specifically addresses the unique problem of being black in America. As Mr. Claude Anderson said, there were some things that were designed that way, but it wasn't applied that way. Someone told me there is some unwritten law forbidding anyone from specifically helping black people. And I thought, wow, that's crazy. If that is hard to believe, and look at the flood of video evidence of non-life-threatening black people being murdered while interacting with law enforcement, and still no specific legislation for the accountability of law enforcement. Asians and transgender people got an executive order on Biden's watch. He ain't been on watch. He ain't been up. He ain't been on the throne that long. Sounds like there might be some truth to that unwritten law forbidding anyone from specifically helping black people, because no one is specifically producing legislation that specifically addresses black people. The second thing he talked about was prioritizing legislation over people. He said Biden had to decide to either stand up for black people or to keep white people comfortable enough to approve his legislation. So he can't upset white folks, right? He said he's choosing his legislation over the lives of black folks, as black people will never be able to organize because we are so busy pointing fingers. No one cares that Trump was a scapegoat. No one cares that Obama was seen as great. Find a solution, he said. Stop the excuses. We get that it's the government, but don't excuse hateful presidents, he said. So got to thinking, that is truly politics. Theoretically, Biden needs the white vote because they are 60% of the population. The portion of the 13% of the black population, the black vote, must be the tiebreaker. Biden has to play both sides of the fence. He's a politician, and like this is the melting pot, right? So I guess he's playing on a lot of tunes in a lot of places. Those who have the numbers and the money have the power. Half of 60% is 30%, almost three times the votes of the 13% of the population black Americans represent. It's probably, so that's just my rough numbers based on population size. That we just don't have the numbers. We definitely don't have the numbers of terms of wealth, and we don't have the numbers in terms of numbers. So I'm thinking we must be the tiebreaker. Then he talked about the anti-lynching bill, a non-starter. He accused Biden of passing other protective legislation and not focusing on laws to protect black people. Why was the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act not passed? There have been over 300 anti-lynching bills introduced. Not one has been approved by Congress yet. This is Mr. Johnson saying this. The Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act was introduced in the House of Representatives on January 3rd, 2009 by Representative Bobby Rush, Democrat of Illinois. So that's simple. Why we don't have one? Black folks are not protected. How else can a man be so comfortable killing a black man on video? Catering to Asia, he said, the U.S. needs to make nice with Asia. And they are doing so through legislation, according to Mr. Johnson, Brother Johnson. The continent of Asia is a big problem for America. You have three power countries in Asia. You have Russia, which America can't stand, he said. You have China, which America can't control. And you have India, which is one of the fastest growing populations and is quickly becoming the IT giant of the world. Kamala Harris is not vice president by accident, he said. The vice president, she is vice president on purpose. America needed to send an olive branch to India. Her mother's Indian. Not Indian from American Indian, India in the Asia, in the East. Then he spoke about distractions. He said the Asia agenda is a distraction to the issues affecting black people. Then he talked about police killing continue. Johnson said there has been little done on the issue of police killings of black Americans. He said there have been at least five notable police terrorist attacks against black people on Biden's watch, right? Including the police shooting of 16-year-old Makia Bryant, the police harassment of black army officer Karan Nazario, the shooting of Andrew Brown Jr. during the execution of a warrant. That's the guy that was shot, I think he was pulled up in the driveway, shot him three times in the arm. He tried to get out of there, and then they continued to shoot and shot him in the head, back of the head. And the police shooting of 17-year-old Anthony J. Thompson, Jr. in Tennessee. So the Anthony Thompson was an interesting case. They're all interesting, actually, but this case was particularly interesting to me. I saw check the video out, you guys, see what you think. Police reported that Thompson shot at an officer first. Investigators shrugged that statement off as a part of a preliminary investigation instead of a statement from eyewitness law enforcement officers on the scene. Turns out Thompson's gun did not fire that shot. Thompson had his hand on a weapon in his jacket pouch as the police entered the school bathroom. And the backstory to Thompson is that this guy was in a relationship with a young white student, and he was alleged to have been abusive. They were fighting each other. Mom had called the police and, you know, wanted them to talk with Thompson, right? Anyway, they came to the school, to the bathroom, and the police had heard that somebody had a gun in the school. The school had a rash of incidents with guns, shootings, and things like that, students being shot. Right, so back to the story. Came in the bathroom with Thompson's in there with his friend. He's in a stall, right? The stall where you sit, you know, take the number two, right? So, you know, they told me, you know, he tried to get his hands up out of his pocket because he had his right hand in his pouch pocket. He took his left hand out, kept the right hand in there. So police struggled with the student. They saw a weapon, right? They noticed a weapon on his hands, right hand. They struggled trying to get the gun. A shot was fired. Officer Jonathan Clable shoots Thompson in the chest. Thompson fell to the ground. Another shot was fired by Officer Johnson Clable, who thought Thompson, who was lying on the floor on his stomach, might fire another shot. He shot the officer in the leg, who straddled Thompson's back as he lay on the floor. If you slow the video down, you can see Thompson's empty right hand. It's hard to tell, for me to tell, if the frame is before or after he shot. I have a friend who said that his hand is out before he shot. This all happened within about, I think, 11 seconds, mind you. USA Today gave an account of the incident. Claiborne saw the gun in the front pocket of Thompson's hoodie. Anthony Thompson's hand was on the butt. Claiborne thinks to himself, I'm about to die. That's his mindset. There's three other police in there. Two are actually struggling with this kid, trying to take this gun from him. Suddenly, Thompson's gun is fired. Another officer, Baldwin, immediately drops away from Claiborne's view. Claiborne mistakenly believed Baldwin had been shot. So he fired, striking Thompson in the chest. Allen said Claiborne fired a second shot because he believed Thompson was about to shoot Cash, who I guess is the officer who was out of the scene. That part don't sound right. But the shot struck on Wilson in the back of the thigh. Cash then climbed on top of Thompson, who was face down on the floor and bleeding to death. Now, it looked to me like I saw Wilson. I only know these guys by name, but I saw one officer on straddle the kid and get shot in the back of the leg. So if it struck Wilson, then Cash must have, I don't know. I didn't see the exchanges of people being on top of him. So anyway, some provocative thought. Officer Claiborne is a small cat. Wilson and the two other officers never fired a shot. Claiborne shot again, fearing the mortally wounded Thompson lying on his stomach, not moving, would fire another shot, hitting who? Shot is another police officer in the leg? That sounds like it's what scared people do. The other officers engaged in a physical struggle to take the weapon from Thompson before and after the first shot. That is how close they were to this kid with this gun. Question is, why are some officers trying to subdue Thompson physically, and why is Claiborne trying to kill Thompson? As Claiborne stated, he shot because he thought Cash had been shot, and of course, he feared for his life. Some may argue, if the pussycat wasn't on the scene, Thompson might still be alive. Some may argue, if Thompson had taken his hands off the weapon, Thompson might still be alive. One thing is for sure, Thompson didn't take his hands off the weapon, and the pussycat shot him to death. The shooting was declared justified because police feared for their life. He also mentioned the police killing of Dante Wright, an unarmed black man sitting in his car during a traffic stop, who had an open warrant. he was accidentally shot at close range, point blank range, by a 26-year law enforcement training officer who thought she shot him with her taser. That's kind of hard to believe. I mean, anybody take anything, put in your hand, and point it at something in front of you, tell me what you see. Because it didn't happen instantly. Take anything. You can take the smallest thing you want. Tell me what you see. Point it at anything in front of you. Point it at a person in front of you. Tell me what you see. And, you know, the answer to that, you're going to see the object that's in your hand. So I don't know about that girl, that lady's story about that. He also talked about no police reform, right? Despite the continued police shootings and brutality, he said Johnson failed to act. It's unacceptable in America. He said it's acceptable in America for police to kill blacks. That's a quote from the author quotes Umar. Biden played Black America to its face, and many still voted for him. They accepted his lip service. You know, as I previously said, you know, man, seems like that's all we get most of the time anyway, is lip service. Then they go on and do whatever it is they want to do to get in office, right? Anyway, from provocative thought. I get it. Still no legislation specifically for black people, and the murdering of black people who encounter law enforcement continues. Right? Asians get an executive order for an assault, right? And the transgender community. He's not saying, Biden is not saying he's not going to do anything specifically for black people. Biden is behaving that way. So Biden's off to a bad start. Maybe black people will get something before his term is up. Who knows? But I wouldn't hold my breath, bet my paycheck, or wouldn't nickel on it. Maybe the only people who need to want to do something for black people are black people. Biden is no white messiah, and I doubt that he is willing to crucify his political career on the account of black folks. Umar Johnson is hardly alone on the subject of Joe Biden's disloyalty to black voters. Jacobin, quote I got from there, by Banco Marcetic. Joe Biden has built a career on betraying black voters, he said. Wow. Biden's string of primary victories highlights a central paradox of his career. He has secured the loyalty of African-American voters while working nonstop to let them down, he said. Now, I remember this election. I asked some people why they voted for, I didn't ask a whole lot of people. Some people, just a couple people, why they voted for Biden. It basically was to get, people was voting for Biden to get Trump out of office. You know, I had a friend that was saying he thought Trump offered more for black folks than Biden did. So, and he wouldn't vote for Joe Biden. Anyway, after his big South Carolina win on the back of the strong black support, right? His campaign, they say, was revived. So he solidified his place as a front runner through a series of wins in southern states on Super Tuesday with mostly older African-Americans in those states backing him in larger numbers. So the African-American community came out for this joker. Biden had carefully cultivated loyal Democratic voters in the black community, they said, both in this campaign and throughout his decades in Washington. They quote him, my entire life I've been involved with the black community, he said during the last debate. My entire career has been wrapped up in dealing with civil rights and civil liberties, just not specifically for black folks, I guess. But it says surveying Biden's record, one is left with a different impression, Arthur said. Biden has, in fact, built a career on the back of steadfast African-American support while consistently betraying those same voters. Then he goes on to talk about some things that Biden did. Elected as county councilman in 1970, Biden was known as an advocate for public housing, earning him racist abuse from bigoted locals in Delaware. Yet he quickly assured the press about his public housing stance. And they quote him, I am not a crusader rabbit champion the rights of people. He's not championing the rights of people. And they went on to say, true to his word, when plans for a controversial moderate income housing project came to the Newcastle County Council in 1972, one opposed by a crowd of hundreds who attended the meeting, Biden voted with the rest of the council to table it indefinitely. More accurately, Biden disappeared after a recess, and the vote had to be delayed until he could be found and his vote put in the record. When the county's housing authority later drew up plans to buy a complex to convert to a non-elderly public housing, the agency's outreach to discuss the plan with Biden fell on deaf ears. Biden was too busy campaigning for the Senate. Upon entering the Senate, he worked on bills to regulate predatory private debt collection and sat on its housing subcommittee. But not for long, they said, right? Other issues, he explained that other issues are more important for Delaware, the issues of crime and busing. Biden departed banking in 1977 for the Judiciary Committee. The decision paved the way for him to become the Senate's leading liberal opponent of busing and architect of mass incarceration. Each of his efforts were disastrous to the cause of black equality. Now, I know what happened with mass incarceration. Who is most massly incarcerated, disproportionately incarcerated? Black folks. All right. So anyway, they say the full significance of Biden's anti-busing crusade has rarely been explored. Through his 1975 anti-busing amendment failed by clearing the Senate, it was credited by the Congressional Quarterly as signaling the end of the upper chamber's previous commitment to defending desegregation measures. Meanwhile, his lasting anti-busing achievement, the 1977 Eagleton Biden Amendment, which barred the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare from using its funding for busing, became the bane of existence for civil rights activists and school administrators around the country. Biden was also against busing that on a Judiciary Committee filed with formal segregationists. He became the member who would vote against two historic black nominees to the Justice Department because of their stance on the matter. All right, so he's doing a lot of things that's against people that's working for black people to come up. He went against it. I heard a long time ago of people alleged that he was a racist. Meanwhile, Biden pushed the flurry of tough on crime legislation in the 80s and 90s that would prove to be disastrous for communities of color, right? And he was well aware of the dangers. That's implying that he knew that these agencies would target black people and minorities. So that's mostly black and Latino people. So it's already been studied, and anybody that did their little, you know, research behind that. So black people are disproportionately targeted, arrested, convicted, jailed for longer periods and things like that. So it's not a secret. So all kinds of criminologists books about that. You can find Clayton Hardin, you know, just look him up. He'll let you know about all that stuff. So, you know, that's all part of, as I talked about the other week, racism and white supremacy and how blacks were viewed since they entered this country and why they were viewed that way. Anyway. So Biden is doing a lot of, you know, according to the writer, as a member of the chair of the judiciary, and later chair of the Judiciary Committee, Biden led through several hard right justices to the Supreme Court, Anthony Kennedy chief among them. Once on the court, Kennedy completed his right-wing takeover, working with his fellow conservatives to weaken civil rights protections. They're saying Biden had a hand in that, helped that happen. 4 years later, with Clarence Thomas' nomination, he did everything humanly possible to undermine Anita Hill's testimony about the judge's sexual harassment. They said Biden lectured Democrats to forget the multicultural correlation that formed the bedrock of their party and move closer to the politics of the suburban South. Go figure. He also told the NAACP in a convention in 1986, you can't try to pit the Rainbow Coalition, blacks, Hispanics, poor whites, gays, against the middle class. He pointedly snubbed Jesse Jackson by publicly ruling him out as his running mate for president. He also quote him and say, it's about time politicians stop making pro-black speeches before pro-black groups and pro-black labor speeches before the labor groups. These are quotes from Biden. So I guess people just didn't do their homework. Throughout his career, Biden went routinely and changes on talking points depending on who he's talking to. It's politics, if you ask me. He's just being a politician, you know. He's famous for the 2003 eulogy of segregationist and sexual predator Storm Thurmond, the man whom which Biden had worked to shift the United States criminal code in a more punitive, unforgiving direction, right? So, he had a long history of taking aim at entitlements like Social Security, a program of enormous importance to African Americans, and which large numbers of black Americans rely on to survive. So, he attacked that, right? Maybe he's changed. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Biden has seen the light or something, and he's changed. So, for you guys listening, how do you feel about Joe Biden? You feel he's a he playing to the crowd, the black crowd, based on the people he has decided to help produce some legislation for protection for? Do you, especially if you're black, you know, but you can be white and see what I'm talking about. You don't have to be a black person to understand what I just said. It's not about color. It's about assuming these things are true. Executive orders for Asians and transgender people to protect them, you know, because I think Asians were getting attacked due to this pandemic that we have, the COVID-19. I think Trump called it the China virus, and then it went from there. So who knows? Some people might just be smashing them because they want to. Kind of world we live in. So how you feel about that? How you feel about the whole Joe Biden? Is he using the black vote to get what he wants, then throwing an axe in the back of black people, you know, once he's elected? Has he done that? I know it's kind of early, but we're just looking at what he felt the need to address early on. And I'm like, we've been in here in this predicament for over 400 years. Over 500, depending on where you're counting from. And there's a guy that he's been fighting for civil rights all along. And we don't see him in producing any kind of legislation specifically for black folk. Which makes me wonder. You know, because I'm not a politician, but I have a friend who's pretty good at this political stuff. And we have these conversations every once in a while, which is why I'm doing the show, actually. Because I just wonder. I need to hash it out, and I figure I'd hash it out with my listening audience, because not that I expected anything from Biden, because as I had a conversation with my friend, I didn't expect anything from Obama, who, as we all know, is of a darker hue than Biden. In fact, he has a parent directly from Africa. So, I just don't have the expectation from Biden. Definitely don't have any expectation from him. And it seems like people were just voting just to get Trump out of office. They, you know, I don't know what was the game plan for Trump being in office, but seemed like it was just a circus. You know, the whole thing about the presidency and politics and world affairs, it just started becoming a circus. But, you know, so I guess Biden looked a little better because he's a polished politician. Having Trump in office is like having the janitor become the dean of students or the principal of the school. And so now you have a qualified politician that doesn't, I mean, we look at history, historically, it's not who's standing up for black folks. Who's, you know, who's doing that in this country? And we can't overlook the fact that racism is alive and kicking in America. Make no mistake about it. It's alive and kicking like Bruce Lee. So, what's up with that? What do y'all think about that? You know, let me remember, if you want to talk, please press the number one. Because I would much like to hear what somebody else has to say about this situation. Is Joe Biden a demagogue? Is he playing on the fears and the prejudices, desires of people, black people, in order to gain their trust and their vote to his own ends, for his own goals, to achieve his own personal goals? Or is he the guy he says he is? Or is he the guy the author says he is? The guy who is just sucking you dry, pimping you out, pimping out the black vote so that he can beat, so he can win the election. Right? So what's going on with that? Senator from Politico, is Senator Tammy Duxworth, Democrat of Illinois, she's an Asian American, and Maize Hirono, Democrat in Hawaii, another Asian American, initially vowed to oppose Biden nominee until the White House offered a more significant plan to address Asian American interests. Now, here's what I heard somebody say. See that right there? Said that, you know, people have to speak out. You have to have a voice. And there's a voice right here. But later said their obstruction would be unnecessary after getting assurances from the White House. So it seemed like Biden took these girls out to lunch, talked to them, sweet talked them, and I got you covered. So now you see this legislation protecting executive order. Keep your hands off, you know, Asian Americans, visitors, anybody age, keep your hands off of them. They're protected by law. Specific law, right? Specific law. Is there specific legislation for black folks? Well, we're going to get into that because, as we know, this country has no problem historically producing legislation specifically, right? There is no legislation, right, specifically designed and applied to address the over 400 years of aggression and oppression perpetrated on black folks in America. Same black Americans that Joe admitted had his back at the election polls, and he had their back. Yet, no rush to address or establish any executive order specifically to address the violence perpetrated on blacks by law enforcement and hate groups and individuals in America. No legislation for even the most recent years of aggression and murder. Did Joe just stick an axe in the back of black American voters? Is anybody's back hurting right now? Do you, like, you reach back? Do you feel like something's stuck in your back? Anyway, I said, from here it appears Joe is not sleepy at all. They call him Sleepy Joe. I said, no, I don't like he's sleeping at all. Black American voters are sleeping at the wheel. Don't we have laws that address assaulting people in the United States of America? Did it cross anyone's mind that they need to be enforced? The United States of America is one of the most regulated countries on the planet, if not the most. It is the lack of accountability in the application of the law that is literally killing us. Laws only punish people after the fact. It does not protect you in the real world. Because we've been having so many homicides, so many robberies, all this crime. I'd rather not be assaulted than have the person who assaulted me held accountable. How can we get that kind of security? How can we get it where, you know, use police as an example, where they don't do that simple stuff? It costs people their lives. How can we get that situation, you know, on deck? Because I'd rather, you know, I'd rather not hear about a brother being killed because he tried to run away. He had no weapon, or his hands was up in the air, and he killed him anyway. And somebody said, because I feared for my life, he had a gun. I'd rather not hear that. I'd rather that situation not occur. How can we get that kind of security? How can we get that program on deck? Duckworth, anyway, back to the story. Duckworth applauded Biden in a statement for recognizing our community's pain and taking concrete actions to protect Asian American people. Anyway, the AAPI. Individuals from violence and root out anti-Asian bias while also supporting the victims of hate crimes. That sounds like some black folks could have used, but like I said, you know, in my personal opinion, I'm not a politician, but if you got crimes against attacking people, you already got hate crimes legislation. Why did they even putting out another legislation, you think that's going to stop somebody from smashing somebody? We got people, Philadelphia's on a record number for killing homicide. We got all this thieving and lying going on everywhere. Police continue to kill unarmed people. I'm sure they know this is a law against murdering people. Stuff is still going on. Anyway, she applauded Biden for, you know, recognizing their pain. Is Biden recognizing the black community's pain? The new DOJ initiative will also aim to improve reporting of hate crimes. According to the Survey Monkey, AAPI data survey released, 10% of Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders had experienced hate crimes or incidents in 2021 compared to a national average of 6% of Americans. Okay, so they're saying these Asians are really getting it. I'm just going to go on to the next story. Duckworth has dropped her threat to oppose Biden's nominees after securing what she described as a commitment for the appointment of a senior White House official focused on Asian American issues. Now, that's some stand-up stuff right there. Where's our stand-up people? Where's our people who should have done something like that? Who could have done something like that? Where's our people that can move like that? Or are they just trusting this guy? That's just two people threatening. I know there are a lot of black folks up on Washington, on Capitol Hill. Where is our representation? Where is Asian American working? She didn't do that for black Americans. She did that for Asian Americans. Where are the black politicians who are seeking specific attention to the black Americans issue? These are two Asian American politicians who sought to advocate for the plight of Asian Americans. Where are guys that do that? Do we have them? Because I could be wrong. I'm not a politician. I really don't follow the political game too much. But where are they? Where's the person, you know? So, from the Manila Village, USA, right? The first Asians came to the Western Hemisphere were Chinese, Filipinos who settled in Mexico. Eventually, Filipino settlers were the first to settle in the U.S. around 1750 in what would later be Louisiana. Later, around 1840, to make up for the shortage of slaves from Africa, the British and Spanish brought over slaves or coolies from China, India, and the Philippines to islands in the Caribbean, Peru, Ecuador, and other countries in South America. However, the first large-scale immigration of Asians into the U.S. didn't happen until 1848. Around that time, as you remember, they had the gold rush, right? So they came seeking gold out in the West, right? The gold rush is one of the factors that led many Chinese to come to the U.S. to find their fortune and return home rich and wealthy. So, 1848, that's when you had a large immigration, right? 1840, somewhere around that time, came as slaves or coolies. Forced labor, cheap labor, right? So for the black folk, they said the arrival of 20 Africans to England's mainland America colonies in 1619 is the focal point of history curricula, right? That's what they basically called the first slave came here. The date and their story have become symbolic of the roots depicted captive, despite captive Africans likely being present in the Americas in the 1400s and as early as 1526 in the region that would become the United States. So depending on when you count, black folks been going through it for hundreds of years, right? As slaves, right? From U.S. News, Biden's early move to deliver on his promise of racial equity. So, President Biden signed 4 executive orders meant to thwart discrimination against minorities to the start of a broad-based plan to address racial equity. The president signed 4 executive orders meant to thwart discrimination against racial minorities, including direct plans to ban any Department of Justice contracts with private prisons and a requirement that the Department of Housing and Urban Development to buttress the imprisonment of the Fair Housing Act. From Newsweek, Biden leaves reparations out of racial equity plan despite left call for reform. So, Biden's economic plan to combat racial inequality and the U.S. skips any mention of reparations. So, if it's an economic plan, and in order to be of significant in America, you need wealth. So, this is that, I guess this is a pull yourself up by your bootstraps type thing here. Because Maybe they'll throw you some boots. And you won't have to really use your boots, the straps of the boots to pull yourself up with, because this doesn't make no sense. Black people have been held back in this country for a long time. Yes, black people have been able to succeed in this country. They have laws on the books, and they have a culture of oppression, cheating, robbing black people, directing them to situations that's not in their best interest. High interest rates and all, you know, mortgages and things like that, you know, redlining and things like that. They said this concept was gaining popularity in mainstream despite past assurances that he would at least study the issue. Biden said he would at least study. So did he study the issue or not? While the plan was notable in terms of addressing racial wealth barriers, it also was notable for leaving out bold ideas endorsed by Black Lives Matter advocates and the left wing of the party. It didn't include any form of direct financial compensation for black Americans for enslavement and discriminatory practice policies. Just read. Read the Constitution. Start with the Constitution. We talk about policy, legal, so-called. Even if, just because it's legal, or it's legitimate, that doesn't make it right. It also didn't address the H.R. 40 bill introduced in the House of Representatives that would study what the federal government owes the descendants of slaves and explores ways to repay that debt. Okay, this is the man that, especially those older black people, right, went out on a limb, went out and voted for this guy. We had his back. Black people had his back, voted for him, got him in office. Okay, first thing he did, first couple of things he did didn't include black folks. All right? And he needs reparations out of the racial equity plan. So I just want to know, where's this wealth going to come from? How do we get it? How do black people develop wealth? And he's got 4 years. How does that happen? Reparations were a top-tier issue during the Democratic Party primary, during which many of Biden's rivals endorsed, at least in theory, monetary restitution for descendants of slaves. How that sound to black folks? Y'all think y'all deserve restitution for because America was built on your ancestors, on the oppression of black people, enslavement and oppression of black people. And I know that goes all the way up until even now, actually, but largely during the times when cotton was big here, because the banks were became fat because of the South's production of cotton, distributing it around the world. The world distributor of cotton. That's how the northern banks became fat cats. So the idea has also been gaining momentum in cities across the country. The idea of reparations have been gaining momentum in cities across the country. City council members in Asheville, North Carolina, unanimously approved a measure supporting community reparations for black residents. North Carolina. You know, that's deep for them to even be saying that. That's like deep South. That's South. Not real deep, but it's deep enough. North Carolina is a slave territory. That's heavy slave territory. You know, slaves all over this country. I don't want to throw nobody a curveball on that. So black people wasn't nobody's anything in this country but a slave. All right. So during these times, anyway, times I'm referring to anyway, pre-Civil War time. So and afterwards, lawmakers in California and Rhode Island have also started to examine possible reparations programs. Joe has been fighting for civil rights. He's had black people's backs. He's got a funny way of showing it. I'm just going to say that. Somebody check me if I'm wrong. Call me in. School me. Because see, I didn't pay attention to some of this stuff about Joe Biden until recently. The United States had approved of reparations in the past. Financial compensation was given to the Japanese Americans 40 years after they were interned during World War II under the Civil Liberties Act signed by President Ronald Reagan. The government offered a formal apology and paid $20,000 to each survivor. That's just for putting them in a concentration camp. That ain't for enslaving them, beating them, raping them, torturing them, you know, separating their families, taking their language away from them, taking their language from them, separating them from their training, their cultural connection, their people. They didn't do that. We still had that condition right now. That's a condition of slavery. You don't know where your people come from. That's a condition that you inherited from slavery, from oppression, from people just separating you from what you are. But I don't see anything where Biden is recognizing this condition. And so far, I'm going to say, it's still early. And we're not going to give up hope on his, on this guy seeing the light and actually doing something real for black folks. But as of now, the man is not writing anything specifically for black folks. Carmella, what's her name, Harris, actually stated the same thing. I'm not writing anything specifically for black people. So I heard she had something specifically for Indian folks. So anyway, that is four executive orders, not specifically for black people. Black people specifically voted for Biden and Harris. Neither has presented legislation specifically for black people. Harris said she wasn't going to pass legislation specifically for black people. Biden told Ice Cube to wait until after the election to discuss the black agenda. I hope Ice Cube isn't holding his breath. It makes you wonder, is there some unwritten law prohibiting anyone from creating a law specifically for the benefit of black people? They had no problem creating law specifically for black people to oppress them and devalue their existence. You got the slave code, you got Jim Crow, and of course, you got the Constitution. That was a whole lot of stuff. I'll just start with this, these three things, because it was too much for me to even mention all of them. Y'all need to just go check it out. You know, these laws that they had prohibiting and oppressing black folks. I'm just going to go with this 1787, you know, Constitution. Apportion direct or captation taxes, and membership in the House of Representatives in accordance with population, but counted a slave as only three-fifths of person. Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3. All right? The Constitution required that escaped slaves be returned to their owners. Article 4, Section 2. Constitution forbade Congress from making slavery illegal until 1808. Article 1, Section 9, Clause 1. This is too long to cover on this show. But you get my point. You know, you just move on up to the whole thing about you can't, black people can't go to the same school as white people, can't sit on the same toilet, can't eat at the same, you know, table. You know. All that good stuff. This is too long to cover. Anyway, U.S. News continue on. They said that we have never lived up to the founding principles of this nation to state the obvious that all people are created equal, Biden told reporters at the White House. For too long, we have allowed a narrow, cramped view of the promise of this nation to fester. But instead of a zero-sum game, one in which one person's success demands another's failure, Americans need to understand that when any one of us is held down, we're all held back. Signing orders, giving lip service, and still nothing specifically for black people. He is consistent with his predecessors, though. Gotta give it to him. That sounds good right there. It sounds like Biden should have said something specifically for black folks. But he didn't. But he's sweet talking. They said the president dissolved the 1976 commission, a panel President Donald Trump established, and which was critical to the civil rights movement, saying it had abandoned its initial lawfully ideals with affirmative action and other policy goals. Biden also reinstated diversity and inclusion training for federal employees and contractors. Racial equality was a key element in Biden's very decision to run in 2020, he said. While Biden passed on a chance to run for the White House in 2016, a year after his son had died, the president said the racism displayed at the 2017 Unite the Right rally made him decide to launch the 2020 campaign. So it seems like Biden talked a good game, which is, like I said, he's a politician. So I don't think he's saying anything or being in a way that none of the other politicians have been. It just seems like he's just, you know, trying to say the right thing to the right people to get the result that he wants. And that's part of being a politician nowadays, because we don't hold politicians accountable. We're talking about accountability. We're not holding them accountable either for how they administer the law, what laws they pass, and for who are these laws serving. We're not holding politicians accountable at all. So maybe we can't. I don't know. But we can try. Hello. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. What's up, Q?
Hey. I think it's kind of early. I agree with you saying he's pretty much kind of doing, you know, following the roadmap set by everybody else. But it's kind of early. As far as those presidential executive orders, aren't they easy to turn around once the other party gets into office? Isn't that what they were doing with Obama stuff?
That's what he did with Trump stuff.
Right.
Right.
So if they take the time to make the law, you know, whatever they're going to do for us, I think that would be better than the executive order.
Well, he's not going to, he's against reparations. He took it off the table.
Mm-hmm.
Said he'd look at it, and he's the guy that took it off the table. So, and he's got our back. Is that the way you get the back of the most oppressed group of people in this country? One of the most oppressed group of people in this country? Because we have that so-called American natives, which is debatable. We ain't going to get to that. That's a show in of itself. But we got them who are almost exterminated.
Mm-hmm.
And which is, you know, we ain't going to talk about who's indigenous and who's not. But you know, he doesn't, I mean, come on now. We are cut off from who we are, Black Americans. Yeah, you can read a history book. You can read the Bible and trying to connect to who you are, but we cut off.
Definitely.
We cut off. And how you know you cut off is your name, how you speak, and, you know, what religion you are coming up under. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know you're not, you are you, but you in the same breath are not exactly you, not quite you, because you have been taken out of you generations and generations and generations of you know, kneeling you out of you. And maybe that's part of the problem with us. We don't have that, without having that who am I connection, we have this chaos going on in our community, in our families, and you know, we don't have that who we are kind
of
like,
point
that,
of reference.
Like, right. You know, I mean, we got that thing, well, yeah, brother, we see a brother, you know, we know how it is. You see you and another brother, only two in the area, y'all connect, bam, because you forced to connect because you're staying out, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you surrounded. You don't know what you're surrounded by. So, so you know, but this guy said, hey, we taking his reparations off the table. That's like saying we ain't giving him nothing. That's like saying we ain't giving him nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, holler guy got your back making that kind of move.
All right.
So I've been getting lectured on this whole Joe Biden thing and this Trump thing for some time about how Black people should vote for him because he's not offering anything. You can get more from Trump than you can get from Biden, or maybe even not even voting at all because you're not getting nothing anyway. And I thought that's strange. It's like,
Trump was offering reparations.
Oh no, I'm not saying this is a conversation. I don't know Trump to be offering reparations, anything like that. But this is part of conversation we just had.
They were trying to confuse the issue, or they were confusing the issue about Trump and funding colleges or something like that, whereas he was offering this money toward the colleges, towards the Black colleges.
For the infrastructure.
Right.
But what happened was the grants.
Right.
Yeah.
The grants was more. He was taking away from the grants, but giving them less money with something else.
So we're going to make,
like,
so you're going to have a nice college to go to, right? But she ain't going to be able to get there, right? That's what that says, right?
Uh-huh.
It's a nice, beautiful college over there. But you're not going to be able to get there. Not many of you. because I'm cutting that money. I'm cutting your legs from under you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All right. I mean, that's part of the conversation that I had, you know, that, you know, you have to read about Trump because he's not the dummy that everybody thinks that he is. He's a little crazy, but he's not a complete fool. So, you know, as I said, you know, this guy jumps on this thing about Asians and because they're beating up Asians over this COVID-19 thing, I guess. They're blaming Asians for COVID-19. Well, if they did their homework, you know, they might be looking somewhere else. Cause so where did this, who was working with this virus initially? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Who initiated the laboratory, you know, the function of this virus? Who wanted to increase the function of the virus? Who wanted to do that? Who are the people responsible for that? Because to me, whoever authorized and paid for the enhancement of the virus might have something to do with it. Maybe it didn't come off of the back in a cave. Maybe it came out of the laboratory. They said, I don't know. But hell, mm-hmm. That story sounds pretty, pretty likely to me. And that's another show. I think I did that show already. But, I mean, like, do your homework before you start trying to blame Chinese people. And the average, the Chinese guy on the Chinese story, he don't want to catch the virus either. And he's not trying to give us the virus. So it don't even make sense to attack them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They ain't attacking no politicians. And they screw you in the butt every election, right? They ain't attacking mm-hmm. none of them. Well, I said, why are you attacking these Chinese guys? Because some politician said something stupid. You know, that don't make sense. So, you know, and then, like, as I say, you know, we really don't need all these laws anyway. I know people are looking at it. It shows his intent and his focus when he, you know, presents rights of you know, an executive order protecting Asian Americans. You know what I'm saying? Okay, that's what he worried about, transgender people. You know what I'm saying? That's what he worried about, immigrants, illegal immigrants. That's your first line of order when you become president? Did any of them help you become president?
Hmm.
How much did you depend on those groups of people? I guess a couple of years from now, he's going to need them. So I don't know how fast they can get their citizenship or nothing like that, but he's going to need to make sure that those people have citizenship because he might not be getting the black vote because now he has to show black folks. He got to meet with Ice Cube. He don't do that. That's going to be okay. Yeah, he don't care. You can see for yourself, right, if you're paying attention, right? You can look and mm-hmm. see, oh, where's legislation that's specifically for black people? He already got legislation for transgenders, right?
Mm-hmm.
He already got something for the Asian community, right? So it ain't no, oh, I'm not writing no legislation specifically for black folks. So why not? You did it for transgender people, and that's the sexual orientation, orientated group, right? Asians,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Black folks. You know? So what's the problem here? We already got laws against killing people and beating the hell out of people. Apply them to everybody, and you'll see what happens. You know, we really don't need, you already got hate crimes laws. But I mean, I don't suspect that a person who kills somebody loves them. You know what I'm saying? You're not shooting somebody in the head that you love. You, at that moment, you're not in love with them. So, I mean, it's all really a hate crime. You gunning somebody down the street because you gang banging them, or you because they hurt your feelings. You know what I'm saying? Or because you don't like who they are, their ethnicity. You hate them, so you fear them, so you want to kill them and stuff like that. It's all psychotic. It's all crazy. But I mean, the bottom line is you are murdering somebody. So we already got crimes against that. So I'm not really Those that executive order just tells me something about
who the
president, right? Concern. Who he's prioritizing, and who he's So now, who is our stuff? Because something specific to us, like reparations, would be specific to us. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's not like a hate crime law or a crime against assault. That would be okay. You black descendant of the slaves, right? You black American, right?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all get X reparation, that type of thing. So that specific kind of law would benefit black people. He took it off the table. The one thing that really not covered by law is reparations, because that has to be written, you know, by law and you know, for a specific group of people like the Japanese. We didn't get none of that. We're not Japanese. Feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's mm-hmm. what I'm talking about. So it doesn't look like Biden is a friend of the people. Even before now, he wasn't always really. They basically saying he's two-faced. He's doing what he needs to do to make it as a politician, which is, I think, probably a lot of them do. So he's just being what he is, a politician. Now, we need to keep that in mind, because I don't know Joe Biden. I don't care how many times, just because he's Vice President Obama, that means absolutely nothing to me. But the more I read about him, if it's true, you got to watch that guy. That's what I'm saying. If any of the things that they allege that he did, and they're not alleging, they're saying he did it, then Joe Biden needs to be watched carefully, and we need to keep our pants up 4 years from now, right, 3.5 years from now, when the election comes up for this guy. Do not allow Democrats and anybody, not just Joe, anybody. They want the vote. If the vote is that important to them, don't give it to them until they give you something. If this guy don't give us something, don't vote for him. This is his last 4 years. If his reelection is dependent upon the black vote, you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If he's going to treat us like that, he already showed that he took reparations off the table. So right before him, okay, Joe talked that stuff, but he talked that talk, but he ain't walking the walk. That's all I'm getting out of the information that I'm reading. You know what I'm saying? So, not half the country, not half of a century of attitudes in the making. Try over 500 years of stewing in the so-called melting pot, an inheritance of indoctrination and privilege. That's what we've been exposed to. Like, come on, Joe, you know that. We've run out of time. Q, I want to thank you for calling in, bro, sharing. Until next week, y'all, sure. Each one reach one, each one teach one. Peace out.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to... predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.